Welcome to Bridge City Church, North Braddock. If we hadn't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Pastor John, and I am the campus pastor here. And no, this is not a fashionable purse item. In a moment, we're going to see what this is. But this morning, I'm excited to be with you as we kick off a brand new sermon series called The Big Picture, where we are going to be looking at and doing our best to wrestle with and tackle the big issues of life. Now, I am not ignorant or simple-minded enough to believe that we can tackle some of these things in a several-week sermon series, but I believe this morning and in the subsequent weeks as we dive into these things, we're going to get insight, things maybe we hadn't even thought of, but we're going to get insight from the scriptures, from the very word of God, to help us to understand some of the big issues of life. And this morning, we're going to be talking about one of those big issues, purpose. Why am I here? Maybe you've asked that. Maybe you've wondered that. Maybe you've looked at people in your life and wondered why they were here, because they seem to serve no discernible purpose or meaning for you and the quest of your life. But we have to understand something this morning, that when we think about purpose, when we think about the why of things, that is a vitally important reality. The why of things help us understand a lot. Now, as I said, this isn't a purse. This is actually a manly thing on loan from a friend of mine who's here this morning. But how many of you know what this is? Okay, a couple of hands. We're gonna try to shout out what this is. What do you call this? A cordless? Did I hear drill? What? Power drill. Did I hear screwdriver? Yeah, screw gun, something like that. See, the reality of it is we all in varying ways know what this is, but the why it is actually less clear. See, the what it is can help us understand the why to a degree, right? Like it's a drill. It is something that helps people make holes more conveniently. Or it's a screw gun. It helps us to fasten screws more conveniently than a typical screwdriver. And while we wrestle with the what a thing is and do our best to not overly conflate it with the why, we can understand that the why of a thing is important, right? Because if I took this now, if you were to hold this in your hand, you would feel that this has some weight to it, some girth, if you will. And it is a tool, is it not? So I could take this tool. No, I won't, because it's not mine. And even if it was mine, I wouldn't do this because I would look like a fool. But I could potentially hammer nails into wood with this, right? But because the what says it's a tool, but the why tells us that it's not used for hammering nails, it's used for fastening screws and drilling holes. And so that's why it's important for us to not just understand the what, but the why of a thing. And the reality of it is, whether it's a drill, this bottle of water, my phone, this bag, whatever it is, we have to not only understand the why, because the why helps us to know what to do with it, but even more than that, the only way that we can truly understand the why is when we go to the source, the creator, right? Because there's different kinds of drills, different power levels, different colors. And so we could even take this why question even further. Why did you make it this way? I have one at home. It's a different color, right? It's a different size. It's a different shape. It has a different power level. Right? So we could say, why did you make it this way? Why is it black and gold? Now, here in Pittsburgh, we know why. Fun fact, the Steelers play today. Can you tell I'm in the groove? I'm glad nobody gave me a Ryobi bag, because that's green and gray, and we don't want that today. We want black and gold today, amen? Some of you are like, what is he talking about? Steeler fans are like, yeah, heck yeah, buddy. We're playing the Jets, who are green and gray. There's going to be a lot more I need to explain to you, so just write them down and ask me later. But why is it black and gold? Why does it have a light? Look at that. Ooh. You weren't ready for that. Oh my goodness, some of you woke up. You're like, oh, what's happening? But why is there a light? See, there's all of these different whys that help us better understand the what. But see, the point I want for us to understand when we think about our lives, because how many of you have looked in the mirror or looked at other people or looked at the world around you and said, why did you make me this way? Romans chapter 9, verse 20 actually cautions us against that. It basically says, who are you, O man, O creature, to question the Creator? Why? Because the only true way to understand the why isn't to question the Creator, but to go to the Creator for the explanation of the why. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more this morning. Because I would be shocked to find out if you at times in your life didn't ask why. Why was I born here? Why? Usually, most of the times we ask why is when it's negative, isn't it? Why wasn't my dad there? Why did I get molested? Why was I born biracial? Why was I born impoverished? See, these are just some of my whys that I had before I met the Creator. And so this morning we want to understand, to know the why, we have to know the who. And so if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Jeremiah 29, 11. This is a very famous passage of scripture. We're going to hop through some scriptures today. We're having some issues with the PowerPoint, so they might not be up on the screen. But you can write them down. Jeremiah 29, 11. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And this is what it says. This is God speaking to his people Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, who the book is named after. While they are in the beginning of a 70-year period of exile in a foreign country. You want to talk about asking God, why am I here? try having your whole world turned upside down. But this is one of the things that God says to them here in Jeremiah 29, 11. This is the Lord speaking. For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, if you've been around church any amount of time in your life, you've probably heard that or some variation of that. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future. See, because one of the beautiful things about knowing the Lord is understanding that everything else in the world has a plan for you, including yourself, but he is the only one who has a plan that is for your prospering and not for your disaster. And you may sit here today and say, well, I am in the middle of disaster, or I have seen enough disaster in my life, and I'm wondering why. Well, that's why the sermon series is called The Big Picture, because you're only in the middle of the story. That's why he says there's a future and a hope. God is good. And this verse reminds us that the Creator created us for good. He is good. He has a plan, and that plan is good. And it may not seem like it right now in your life. And if your life is great now, there will be a time in your life where it doesn't seem great, or there are probably some things right now that are coming back to your memory. Why did my sister die in a crack house? It's another one of my whys. But see, the reality of it is, as a follower of Jesus, I've stopped asking why, and I've started asking what for. Because I understand that the why isn't even as necessary, but if I know that my God is good, I know that there's a good reason for the why. And so today, when we understand our purpose, or we think of the why, I want you this morning to remember the who, and that the who is good, and the who is Jesus, and he has good things in store for you. He has good things for you. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. So what is What is our purpose? Why am I here? Many of us would like to know that. And the reality of it is, each and every one of us has a specific why. And that's the beautiful thing about God's creation. It's the beautiful thing about God's church, his body, right? It's not a place, it's a people. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it reminds us that each and every one of us has a different what and a different why, and we need to be together so that we can see Jesus move not just in our lives, but in the world around us. But we have to understand that even though there are specific things, and this is why you have to have that relationship with Jesus so you can talk to him or have people in your life that can help you understand the why of what you're going through or the why of why you're here. But see, the ultimate why for all of us, and there's gonna be three things that we look at this morning. The first reason why is this: we were created for God. We were created for God. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 28, said the apostle Paul, he's preaching at Athens, and he's telling them, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So while you're lamenting about what he gave someone else that you didn't get, that you think you should have had, I would encourage you this morning to thank you for the very good things that you do have and celebrate them and leverage them for his glory. But Paul goes on in verse 26 and he says, from one man he made all of the nations. Now I love this, because as a biracial individual living in a nation that struggles with racial tension more and more as the days increase, I am reminded by the scriptures that we are not different people. We all come from the same source. The birds he made according to their kinds in Genesis 1, the animals, the fish, the insects, the plants, all were made according to kinds. But when God made mankind, he made one kind. And it says here that from one man, he made all the nations of the earth. So I just want you to think about what was in that DNA of Adam and Eve that could create all of the beautiful complexities of melanin and skin tone and bone structure and height and hair texture and all of these amazing things that God was like, yeah, I am gonna shock the world with this, my creation. Because for one man, he made all the nations, watch this, that they should inhabit the whole earth, which is important to understand because he made one person. We're going to talk about this next week, so stay tuned, be here next week, and invite a friend. We're going to talk about identity. But he made one person, took from that one person another person, and then from those two people, because he empowered them to be creative like him, they could procreate and fill the earth with more. He took one, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. That's just a fancy way of saying he picked when you would live and where you would live. And as many people as I see lamenting and even tearing down the fact that they get to live in the greatest nation that has ever graced the face of the planet, the United States of America, where one of our standards is e pluribus unum, out of many, one. I dare you. I want to send everybody that I see hating America, I want to give them a first plane ticket to just about anywhere else in the world and see if they don't want to come back. Do we got our problems? Absolutely. But you got food. I bet you got more than one set of clothes. I bet you warlords ain't coming to your town and stole your kids and raped you. I bet you that didn't happen. You even got a car that you probably complain about. I know I complain about them. But see, God determined the places and times that we would live. Watch this. He did this, here's the why, so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, even though he is not far from any of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. See, we were created for God, and more specifically for God's good pleasure. He created us to seek him and find him and to find our purpose in him. That's why you're here. To seek after God, to seek to go to the source with your whys. And when he gives you the answers, to live them out in a celebratory reflection of how awesome he is. In the New City Catechism, which is a discipleship tool that uses questions and answers to help people memorize the truths and realities of scriptures, the first question of the New City Catechism is this: what is our only hope in life and death? The answer is that we are not our own, but we belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God. See, I want you to think about your most valuable possession in your life and what you would do to care for it and protect it. And know that there is an infinitely more powerful than you God who looks at you and says, you are mine and you are valuable. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is another discipleship tool, its first question is this: what is the chief end of man, or what's the purpose of man? And the answer is, man's chief end, his purpose, is to glorify God and, watch this, to enjoy him forever. I don't know if you ever sat back and thought about your purpose in life is to enjoy God. But that's part of your purpose. God made you to enjoy him. He made you for his good pleasure. So how do we please him? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, 6 says that we please him when we believe in him. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, belief, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Seeking God pleases him. Another way we can please him, it's kind of connected to this, is when we interact with him. Do I have any parents in the room? Couple? I hear some babies, so I know there's at least one. That's a good thing. Look, if you ever go to a church and don't hear babies, you're at a dying church and you should leave before it dies. I'm just saying. Our lead pastor, Pastor Rick, several months ago at a leadership event, he said, we don't have enough teenagers breaking stuff around here. But every parent knows that their kids need them. The problem is, the kids don't sometimes know that they need their parents. Sometimes kids think the parent exists to please them. Two of mine are here in the front if you're wondering what's going on. Like, why is he staring weirdly at those children? But see, we do the same with God. God is not here to please us. We are here to please him. And one of the ways, watch this, he ain't asking, look, like, is God pleased with your giving and with your serving and with your prayer and with your Bible study? Absolutely. Because those are signs of your belief in him. Because if you believed in him, you'd want to read more about him and what he says about himself. If you believed in him, you would want to serve him because you know how awesome it is to serve him. If you believed in him, you would want to give of yourself sacrificially to him because you know that he gave even more sacrificially of himself unto you. But God's not here to entertain or please us. And it's not that God is looking for our entertainment. God just wants to kick it with us. Now, of you parents, how many of you have children that just went to college or are almost there? Yeah, a couple, you're almost there, a few. In a month and a half, I'm gonna be officiating the wedding of my 26-year-old. And right now, my 2.5-year-old is in our nursery, so. Selah. But see, any parent that has ever had a child go away for any amount of time, especially to college, you understand that more often than not, your children will not call you until they need something. And so could it be that sometimes the lack that exists in your life that is rooted in the fall that happened because of sin, but could it be that God permits it so that maybe, just maybe, you'd pick up the phone and reach out to him? Let him show himself mighty and fatherly in your life by caring for you in the moment of your need. And maybe, just maybe, after enough times of being in need, and that's the only time you shoot him a text, you might just start reaching out to him on a regular basis. Isn't it awesome to know, if you're familiar with the Bible, the story of the prodigal son? The goal of the prodigal son was that the son came back home to be with the father. God wants his children to be with him. He loves you too much. You were created for him. He created us for loving relationship and interaction. He didn't create us. This, and I hear people say this. God didn't create us because he needed us. God created us because he wanted us. That's a game changer. God didn't need, he already lived an eternal community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one God. He didn't need us, but he just wanted us. And as we see next week, man, when we look at what he went into to make each and every one of us delicately and intricately, oh my gosh, we're created for God. The second thing that we're created for, our why, our purpose, you're created for community. Yeah. Nobody was created to do life alone. Nobody. God not only made us to interact with him, but he created us to interact with each other. Genesis chapter 2. Verses 18 through 24. I'm going to try to skip through some of this, but in Genesis 2, verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone." I want you to think about this. On each of the 6 days of creation, God didn't end of day of creation until he could look at it and said, it's good. He never said, it's good enough. He said, it's good. But then God saw something for the first time in all of creation that was not good. What was that thing? Man by himself. Because it was just Adam. So God said, I will make a helper who is just right for him. Just right. Anybody that's ever read The Three Bears knows that that's what Goldilocks stopped her search when she found the thing that was just right. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals. I'll paraphrase it here. He sends all the animals to Adam. And I love this because we see some of the inherent power and identity that God put in mankind by making him in his image and likeness, that whatever Adam called it, that's what it was. And maybe today, right now, the reason why your situation is bad is because that's what you're calling it. Whatever Adam called it, that's what it was. Romans 4 tells us that God calls the things that are not as though they were. And maybe, just maybe, stepping into that in your purpose, because not just for your life, but how many of you know you got neighbors, coworkers, friends, strangers, people, neighbors you don't even like, and maybe, just maybe, you start speaking life over their situation and it'll be that which you call it. Stop looking at the people and saying, they're never gonna get right, they're never gonna get saved, they're always gonna be broke, and say, God, you're gonna bless them, they're gonna get saved, they're gonna get set free, they're gonna get clean, they're never gonna use drugs again, they're gonna prosper, because my God has a hope and a future, not just for me, but for all of his kids, if they would just seek him. But we're created for community. And so God, he sends all the animals, but watch this, verse 20, but there was still no helper that was just right for him. So the Lord caused man to fall into a deep sleep, because we know that's the only way we can get men to stop working and let God work. Was a bar for the guys today. While the man slept, the Lord God took out of the man's ribs and closed it up. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib. Boy, I love my rib. Just went from scolding to awkward for my kids. It's my purpose. And he brought her to the man. He brought her to the man. He brought her to the man. Man didn't seek her. She didn't seek him. He brought her to the man. Verse 23. At last, the man exclaimed. This Friday, we were at a wedding of a good friend, son of this church. His father used to be here for many years. He started our White Oak location, and now he and his wife serve at our Brighton Heights location. But John Rachel's wedding, and John Rachel was at last. This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. Why? Because man had relationship with God, who is spirit, but he is still flesh and blood. God sent to him animals who are flesh and blood, but not spirit. So God sends one like him, but slightly different, so that they could come together and produce life in the world. See, and that's why we are kicking off our connection groups today. Because we need community. You need community. You need people who are like you, but slightly different. Yeah. Yep. We need people to help us take our next steps in Jesus that are not exactly like us, but are just different enough that can help us be productive in our life. Because God made us for community. And this is something that you got to remember. Community isn't created for man. Man is created for community. Community isn't created for man. It's created, watch this, by man. Community needs you in it. And it's not for you to manipulate, be codependent, be needy, be greedy, always taking from community, but God created you with a purpose for community to add value to the lives of the people in the world around you. And so if you have not yet, I want to invite you to sign up for a group. We have a bunch here at our North Braddock location, but we also have a bunch at our other three locations as well. And you can scan the QR code on the screen behind me to find the different ones, and you can follow the prompts to sign up and get in a group. And I encourage you, get in a group. Get around people that are like you but slightly different, so that you can be productive, just like Adam ended up being productive. Last but not least, is we see that we were created for the big picture. I'm gonna have the worship team come up. I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a big overarching plan that you are a part of, but you are not the centerpiece of. That's right. See, I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna put myself out there. More often than I care to admit, I feel like the star in my own movie. I have soundtracks. I envision myself being the hero, never the villain. But see, life in the world is not created with any of us as the center of it, but all of us have a part to play, and we're all playing a part. See, and this is important for us to know, because it's not just the people in our lives, but the circumstances and situations that we face in life that we often don't understand, and we go to God and say, why? We have to know God, the creator, and go to him and say, okay, God, what for? Because I know you have a plan. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes for them. So here's a couple of things we need to understand. First and foremost, like I said at the outset of the message, you are in the middle of the story. Your final chapter isn't written yet. And if you know God and trust God and believe in God, you know that God is good and his plan is good. And that means that even though you're not the central character in the movie of your life, you will undoubtedly ride off into the sunset with the guy or with the girl, with the problem solved and everyone happy, and the credits will roll and God will get all of the glory. He works all things together for his purposes, not yours, his. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, there's a proverb, not from the Bible. Doesn't mean it isn't good. It just means it's not inspired by God, but it's good. A story, if you will, about a Chinese farmer. This is back in the day, think Mulan era. I don't know what era that is, but I am historically ignorant and culturally inappropriate. Welcome to Bridge City Church. But in this story, this Chinese farmer, he had a horse that he needed to work his ground. And the horse ran away. And all of the other people of the village, they heard about it and they came to him and they said, "Oh my goodness, this is so terrible. I'm so sorry." And the farmer said, "Maybe. We'll see." After a couple of days, the horse comes back, bringing with it 5 wild mares. He was a stud of a horse, if you will. And the villagers see that this guy's horse not only came back, but now he has 5 more. He has 6 horses, and they can all breed more horses. So they all come to him, and they say, "Wow, isn't this amazing? These horses came back. This is awesome." And the guy says, "Maybe. We'll see." One day, his son, because he didn't want the original horse to run away again, the son is riding the horse and trying to break the horse, and the horse bucks him and throws him off, and the son falls and breaks his leg horribly. It's probably going to have to get amputated, but remember, this is the Mulan era, so he's just laid up. They don't know what they're going to do. This father has no young son to help him work the land, and all of the villagers come, and they say, "Oh my gosh, this is so horrible. He broke his leg. I'm so sorry." And the farmer says, "Maybe. We'll see." Several weeks later, a detachment of troops from the Chinese army came to conscript draftees for an upcoming war. But because the son couldn't walk because of the broken leg, they did not conscript him, and he didn't have to go to war. And the villagers came and said, "Oh man, this is awesome, man. This is great." And the farmer said, "Maybe. We'll see." See, this farmer understood what a lot of us don't understand, especially when we're in the middle of trials. That this isn't the end of the story. We'll see how it turns out. But see, unlike us who know Jesus, he didn't know a God whose plans for him was to prosper him and not to harm him, plans for hope and a future. He just knew it in his heart. But how much more should we who truly know God, or those who are sitting under this teaching right now, maybe even grab a hold of the fact that no matter what you have faced, what you're facing, or what you will face in the future, isn't just a maybe we'll see. It's a my God has a plan, and it's good. And it's a plan for hope in my future. There's a bigger picture that many of us are not aware of. Millions of things in the world happening sequentially and intentionally, and none outside of God's control. Does that mean the negative circumstances that happened to you was something that God controlled and made happen to you? No. The fall of the world because of sin caused that to happen. But God did intentionally weave it into the fabric of your life to produce an outcome that is going to be good and according to his purpose. Psalm 119, verse 105. David, who had his share of trials, he says this: "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I remember hearing not long ago a pastor talk about this, because so many of us are wondering why. What's the next step? What's around the corner? And we live in anxiety. We live in fear. We live in frustration. We live in bitterness and anger towards God because maybe things didn't break the way we wanted them to break, but we didn't stop and just say, maybe, let's see. But see, the word of God is powerful for us because what it does is it's a lamp for our feet. And sometimes we may not know what's down the road or around the corner, but God gives us enough information to say, here's the next step. And then there are times when we may not know what the next step is, but God has clearly shown us the path and we can see the job, we can see the degree, we can see the relationship, we can see the house, we can see whatever that is, but we don't know how we're gonna get there. And that's where we just have to trust that the same God who lights the path is the same God who lights right in front of our feet, and his plan for us is good and he has a purpose and he will bring us to it. And so this morning, my question for you is this: do you know this God? And have you given your life to this God? Have you given the entirety of your trust to him? Not just I come to church or I believe in him when things are good, but have you allowed yourself to take full advantage of the beautiful reality that this God is so amazing and so good that not only will the negative circumstances not kill you, you now know that he's working even the worst things that are happening in your life or have happened into your life into a beautiful tapestry that is ultimately for your good and his glory. Do you know that God? And have you given the entirety of your trust to him? Well, if you're here this morning and you've never turned your life over to Jesus Christ, this God who has good, hopeful, futureful plans for us, if you've never given your life to him by accepting his free gift of salvation, by merely acknowledging that you're a sinner and you're broken and you need God desperately, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now and just say, Pastor, I need Jesus to come into my life, to be the Lord and the Savior of my life, the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. If you're here this morning and you don't have a day or a time where you receive Jesus and you say, I want to fully trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now, I just want you to put your hand up just like this. Just go ahead and put it up. Just say, that's me. I need that right now. I need him. I need the one who has the answers. David said, your word is the lamp unto my feet. The Apostle John said, Jesus is the word. The only way to light your path and know the next step or know where to go is to give your life to Jesus. If you want to give your life to him this morning, just stick up your hand and say, that's me. And maybe, just maybe, you're here today and you gave your life to Jesus, but you've been far from God. You've drifted, if you were, or you've allowed the circumstances, the why, of your life to drag you away, or the questions about your purpose to keep you from him, but you say, you know what, I wanna give myself back over. I want to come home. If that's you, just say, I wanna rededicate my life to Jesus right now. I wanna give my life back over to him. Amen, amen, amen. Anybody else says, I want to fully trust, not kinda trust, maybe trust, go from 30 to 60% trust. I want to go 100% trust, knowing that no matter what I face or what I'm facing, God has good in store for me. If that's you, just stick up your hand. Someone will come pray with you, talk with you. Amen. See, this is good, guys. It's not a weakness to acknowledge God. It's actually a strength. The enemy wants to twist it on you and let you think that you're weak if you submit your life to God. No, no, no. That's the strongest thing you can do. You know why? Because there's no one stronger than God. And why would you try to run your own life when he would gladly run it for you? He has plans that will prosper you. Yours, eh. When you're in control, eh. When someone else is in control, eh. When he's in control, eh.